We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, Marina Curry. She is the founder of BeautyCon. I am so excited to chat with you. Thank you so much for being here and telling us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So anyone who is in the influencer or beauty space knows what BeautyCon is. But in case there's a few others tuning in, can you tell us what is BeautyCon?
Okay. Well, BeautyCon is the brand that represents the whole movement of beauty and fashion online influencers. And it's a great brand. There's live events and there's media and a box and all kinds of things.
Yeah. So events, conference, obviously, con stands for conference.
Yeah.
And you've really built this community, which is a cool thing. And I love your story, how you weren't necessarily a beauty influencer yourself, but you were a business person. You saw a hole in the market, an opportunity, and you went for it. So can you take me back to that time when you really discovered the idea and went for it?
Sure. When I was around 28, I decided to leave my job. I had a full-time job. And pursue YouTube. And I left without any safety net. I'm like, you know what? I am going to become an entrepreneur. That was my number one dream. And within the YouTube space. So I wasn't sure like what that would look like or anything, but I started making like some videos and like doing interviews and stuff. And then I went to a YouTuber networking event and I met the CEO of one of the major networks. And he told me that they were going to start a new network around beauty. And so then I was like, oh, cool. I want to be involved. And then I went home and I looked at a YouTube beauty video and I just completely fell in love with the girls. They were so genuine, so young, just sitting in their living rooms in front of a camera. And they were giving these recommendations like, you know, just so genuine. Like I tried this cream and I really like it. And I felt like it was like a best friend telling me to go try something.
And that's why it works, because it's so organic, so authentic.
Totally. It's just, yeah, it's like a friend. There's no difference. Right. The girls are so chill. And as soon as I saw that video, I knew that that was going to be the future of all marketing and advertisement. Like these girls were going to then have control over the whole industry. I could just see it from that video.
That's amazing. You must be really good at spotting trends, because sometimes you'll see a trend and then it won't pan out, you know, but it was just that authenticity that you're like, this is going to catch on fire.
Totally. It was like, you know, it was like a commercial in a way, but like something that you wanted to watch. And it was a friend. It was just so intimate. And it beat any other thing that I could think of, you know?
And then how did you come up with the precise idea of connecting all of these people?
Yeah, okay. Well, so basically it was a new frontier when this was first beginning. I knew like girls were doing brand deals and I knew that there wasn't some standard of like how much you should charge if you get popular, if a brand emails you, because if a brand emails you, do you charge them or do you do it for free or do you do this or do that? And the young girls were, they were so popular and I knew that they didn't know how powerful they were. And so I wanted to create one community where everyone could get together and discuss it and also where you could meet fans and just have like a one-stop shop.
Yeah. And there really is strength in numbers, because it's one thing if one of the women start saying, hey, this is what I'm worth, this is how I want to do my brand deals. But then if it's just a standard across the industry, then there's more accountability to the brands to have fair partnerships.
Totally. And also, just as a community, we want to be united, you know,
so. And supportive of each other. Because that's one thing is a lot of these YouTubers and influencers across platforms, collaborations are so huge, right?
So huge, yes. And that was another a humongous benefit of getting everyone together back then, because, you know, so many businesses came out of like the relationships that were made at different events and things that I had. And
Yeah. Okay. So once you knew that you were onto something, you had this idea, what were some of the first things you had to do in order to execute it, to make it a reality?
Yeah. Okay. So the first step that I did was I actually made a Facebook page. Like, we should all get together, or, you know, these content creators, and it's not bloggers, it's actual vloggers. You know, that was different because I think there's like some blogger things, but I was like, okay, vloggers, let's unite, let's get together to talk about the industry, talk about the changes that are happening. And then I had a brand email me saying that they wanted to sponsor the event. And I was like, sure. And so then I hired a PR company to put on the event. And then I did just weeks full of research, just like online all the time, getting contact information for these people. And then I created the first like get together of the beauty and fashion girls.
And when you say bloggers, contact information of these people, do you mean the influencers?
Yes, the influencers.
Okay.
Yes, the girls themselves.
And was it specifically YouTube, right?
Yeah, I only focused on YouTube.
Yeah, but. And I think that was probably a very smart move to have a niche of vloggers specifically on YouTube, and then even more specific in the beauty industry. That's something we talk a lot about on Business Rockstars, that the riches are in the niches, as they say.
Totally.
So you did a really good job of that. So, okay, you started on Facebook. Love that.
Yes.
And that's not a regular thing to get your first sponsor for your first event. I mean, obviously you were really on to something. There was a need for this. What happened then once you had this sponsor on board? Like, what did that allow you to do?
That allowed me to have the money to hire the PR company to, like, I found a top PR company here in LA to produce the event. And so then they were able to just, you know, give the whole thing a lot of legitimacy and do it right and really impress the attendees that I hoped to show up. And they did show up.
So you had gone on to do many events within this community of YouTube influencers. What do you think it was that really allowed you to create this community, to really bond these individuals?
It was the speakers and the people that I'd bring in, and also the fact that they were involved. So I became friends with these girls and I listened to them and I'm like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And they were just supportive. They'd come over to my house, be like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And it was them.
Yeah. Did you have friendships with these people or did you just contact them on the internet?
I made friendships through just my events and
just
everything.
Just reaching out.
Yeah, just reaching out.
Especially for that first event, I would feel like some people could be intimidated by that, right? Like, okay, I want to do this event, but I don't necessarily know these YouTubers. But did you just simply reach out?
No, I hired the PR company to reach out.
So there was a PR company that was really kind of that missing link that allowed you to get in touch with the right people.
No. I found everybody that I wanted to invite, but then I had a really good invitation. Like, you know, they're actually called the Buzz Girls. So they had a lot of industry-only events for the top people in PR and entertainment. And so they were used to working with amazing brands and putting on these top tier events. So I hired them to then put my event on.
So that really helped it go next level.
Yeah, totally. I do not know how to plan an event for anything. Like, it's not my area of expertise. So I hired them.
Yeah, well, what I'm loving as I'm learning about your story is that this wasn't necessarily in your wheelhouse, but you had the vision, you had the idea, and then you got a team together and hired the right people to help you execute this vision. Because I think sometimes it's easy to talk ourselves out of ideas because, well, I haven't done an event, or, I'm not connected with influencers or whatever. But as you've proven, you can get together with the right people who do know how to do those things.
Yeah, totally. Like, if you get any money, then spend it on the right people. Like, as soon as I get a sponsorship, I'd spend it right away and I'd hire pros to come in and make everything awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And then at what point did you decide, I want to hand over the keys, I want another team to run BeautyCon?
Okay, so it was around a month and a half before my already scheduled humongous event. And I actually went to an entertainment lawyer to represent us for BeautyCon, and they connected us with another company that does top-level events at, like, Coachella and stuff like that for great brands and work with celebrities, and they were a team of seven. And we met them, like, around a month and a half before our event, and they were pros and were like, yeah, please, like, we would love for you to do this.
That's
and
amazing.
Take, yeah. Pass the baton.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I know you think is very important is to, as an entrepreneur, ask yourself, do you want to be in the business or do you want to be the founder and then pass that baton? So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a short break. Sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with Marina Curry. She is the founder of BeautyCon. And if you were joining us before, you know that she ended up handing over the baton of BeautyCon. And I know that you mentioned that you think that's a really important thing for entrepreneurs to think about when they go into entrepreneurship, understanding what's the end game. Do you want to be in this business? Do you want to be the CEO? Do you want to be working on it every single day? Or do you want to build something amazing that's highly desirable and then pass it along? So if you could speak to folks, first of all, the two options that you were presented with.
Totally. Well, you know, it's been an interesting journey for me, like really fun, full of adventure. And I know that I am, with confidence, I can say I'm an ideas person. I love running around town being like, hey, this is what I'm working on, and seeing the look in people's eyes and seeing if they, you know, they're responsive or not. And then I also know about myself that I don't have any desire to run a company. I like to start it. I like to like get it rolling. And then if I'm blessed enough that somebody else would like to take the reins for me, then I would happily do that again and again and again.
Yeah. Because the alternative is what? Obviously working in the business, but what could have that looked like for you?
I mean, like personally, if you want to be somebody like Mark Zuckerberg that, you know, builds the whole company, has employees, has an office, has, you know, everything, thinks about the brand 100 years from
a
now.
Lot more structured.
Yeah, it's that's not something that I want to do. I just get off on the beginning part of like just pitching new ideas and then seeing how it responds. For me, when we had the first BeautyCon that was open to the public and there's around 10,000 girls there, I knew that it worked. I'm like, yes, this is it. Like, this is cool. And I had this deep level of satisfaction. And also, I'm like, okay, cool. What's the next thing?
Cool.
So, yeah.
But obviously, in the beginning there, you were in the trenches and you were doing the day-to-day. So, for someone who's more of an idea person like you are, what was that like? Did you enjoy that process? How did you make it work?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm an ideas person and executing. Like, I don't just sit around and say, like, oh, I have this idea, and then pitch it, like, then I make it work. To me, that is a really, it's a crazy part. It's like, I mean, you feel like you're, like, alone most of the time. I'm like, okay, so I have this. you know, okay, so it's called BeautyCon, and people are like, oh, what's that? And most of the time people don't get it.
Right.
But then there's like somebody who does get it, and then they're like, okay, I'll help you. And you're like, yes. And then you move forward, and then there's so many sleepless nights where you're like, okay, this is dumb. And then you're like, okay, no, actually, it's awesome. But the most important thing, and something that I'd love to tell everyone, is to create things that are not for you. When I created BeautyCon, I created it for the girls, this movement that was a shift in marketing and advertisement. And I wanted to create this platform for them to have the world see who they are.
For someone who does want to build a community, is there any other piece of advice that you would like to share with them?
Yeah. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about other people in the community that you want to serve.
Yeah. And that's a really good lesson, I think, across industries and in the influencer space, too. I think anytime you can not just make it about you, but about the content you're creating and about your audience, it's going to go so much further.
Totally.
So when you did get the offer to hand over the baton, did you just know right away that that was it? Or did you have to think about it?
So I had a partner in BeautyCon. He's an awesome dude, and he was there with me every step of the way. And when we first got the offer, I wasn't really expecting it. Actually, that was the second offer. I had a buyout offer the year before from another company, and I decided to like keep on going on my own. But by that time, a month and a half before my big one, when we got the second offer to, you know, pass a baton, I was so excited. Yeah, the company, like it was just me. So to go from one to all of a sudden like expert event planners and people that have great connections and promises of what they can do in the future, like it was really exciting.
So what is your role with BeautyCon now?
Okay, so now I am silent. The current CEO and I think there's around 50 employees, like they work on it. Every day, they're taking it to the next level, like all the time. It's a wonderful brand. I could not be any more proud of where it's gone and where it will go in the future. And I absolutely am the biggest fan of BeautyCon. It came from my heart.
So you get to admire it from afar and be like, I started that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is the best feeling ever.
I bet.
Yeah.
So now you're back to your ideas and you run a couple of businesses or have developed businesses, I should say, and you're developing a TV series. So cool. So tell me about the various things you're working on right now.
Okay. So after BeautyCon, I went traveling for a while. I definitely have like the best life ever. I must say it's very exciting. I went traveling for around 6 months and I actually did a lot of dating. And so,
awesome.
Yeah, I did a lot of dating like all around the world. And so that's what my new project is about.
Ooh, can you tell more?
Sure. Okay, it's called Worldwide Man Tour. And it's about a girl who's looking for like the perfect husband and also like the pressures of that are put on women. Like, okay, so by the time you turn 35, if you don't have a kid, like it's going to have all these problems. And it's just like, okay, I was supposed to focus on my career, but then I'm missing out on this and like freaking out. And then like going on a last ditch rampage to like try to make it all work on this strict timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the show is about. And that's what I actually did in real life as well.
I love it. So that's the pilot that you're creating and shooting very soon.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Worldwide Man Tour.
And then what about your business, We Are Fitness? Tell me about that.
We Are Fitness. Okay. So I started kind of on the same path as BeautyCon, but with fitness. I spent like the past 3 years meeting the fitness influencers, which was really cool. And I was in Australia. I did an event at Google Sydney and I got to meet the coolest Australian influencers. I did like the same work that I've been doing here and meeting cool brands. And I know all of the coolest influencers here in LA and around the globe, really, in fitness. And it's an exciting new space. Like, I think it's not like the sensation that beauty is, But fitness is right up there. It is huge. Just like the beauty creators, these people are inspiring and they are just awesome. Like one guy, he's like, yeah, I want to affect 1 billion people. I want to just like have them be healthy. I want to be a positive influence in their lives. Like they are the coolest.
Yeah,
I love them.
A lot of their intentions are so good. It's very cool to see the behind the scenes.
It is. And just to get to know them as people, like a lot of them have like weight loss stories and stuff like that. And the dedication that goes into making this content all the time, they're just, yeah, people I respect greatly.
Awesome. Well, yeah. You are just amazing. And everything you've done is so cool. So it's been such a pleasure learning more about your journey. Thank you so much for stopping by the Business Rockstar Studio.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Eric Jones is our guest joining us right now. He's the founder of Sidestep. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us again, what's your company do?
So Sidestep lets fans order concert merchandise before, during, and after the show for VIP pickup or delivery.
So give me an example. Last time you said you got Adele, Beyonce, Fall Out Boy, some of your guys' clients using this app.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a fan of Beyonce, you can see all the merchandise that she's selling. You can browse and buy whatever it is that you want to purchase. It's all the official Beyonce tour merchandise. When you order the merch, it'll be waiting for you at the show for easy pickup.
So is this before, during, and after, or just before and during?
Before, during, and after. Okay. So we offer both pickup at show, or if you can't make it or you're sick, you can have the item shipped home.
So the old school model is you just show up, they have the merchandise at the venue, and then maybe the person has a website with the stuff on it. But you guys simplified this down where it's like, download our app. Is the app for free?
Yeah, free.
Okay, so download the app for free and pretty much just you're going to dominate the whole music industry. Is that your vision goal?
Yeah, and we're doing a pretty good job at that right now with the artists that we're working with. And you know,
you got some of the biggest ones already.
Yeah. It's really helpful having those artists. But you know, the core problem why I was inspired to start this company, it was the idea of having 20,000 people all in an arena, all at the point of sale, all very excited. They're kind of there the whole night because they paid to be there. And I think if the experience is you have to walk up to a very, very long line, wait in that line with cash in hand.
That's the reason why when I go to these shows, I never buy anything. Like if I actually, which is rare, if I actually love the person on stage and I'm like really like a big fan, then I might feel compelled to buy some of their merchandise or maybe buy it for somebody I'm with as a gift or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's those lines, that which is so true. If I could just sit there on my phone on, you know, your guys' app, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah, definitely. So it's really convenience for the fan. And I think if you have to walk up to a very long line, wait in that line, get to the front, the item that you want isn't there. There's so many broken
parts. Don't have it in a medium or a large? Great.
It happens all the time, yeah. And I think, you know, with Sidestep, it's for the fan, it's all about convenience. For the artist, the reason why we're getting these really great artists using sites, it's because we're the first company to actually capture real data on who's buying what at the show. So for the first time, if Beyonce is playing to 60,000 people at, let's say, Rose Bowl, we now know who's actually buying that merchandise if they order through Sidestep.
Okay.
And that's something that they can use to engage, identify, and, you know, further add value.
So I mean, I know that with technology nowadays, you guys can track and measure the analytics and data of each individual user, when they bought, different things like that, and put them into a pipeline where if that person buys another future ticket to Beyonce, there's different ways that you guys can remarket to them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And data for us is very important, where even with Ticketmaster, Access Ticketing, two partners that we have.
Your company's literally built on the foundation of data.
It's when you have, when you understand who's actually buying the merchandise at a show, in our opinion, and what we're seeing, you've just identified the super fans. Fans that will continue to buy merch, continue to stream the music or buy the tickets. And unlike food and beverage or parking or even the tickets themselves, if you buy the merchandise at the show, you're very inspired by the show, by the artist, and they'll continue to engage with that artist. And we're finding who those people are.
So do you have some way yet to calculate lifetime value of a purchase or a user? Like, for example, for every user that comes on, they're worth $25 over the next 6 months. Do you guys have data like that yet?
Yeah, slowly.
I mean, I know that it's going to take time. The longer you have, if this thing has been around for 5 years, you'd have tons of that data. Yeah. I'm just curious because it's like, I used to hate numbers and hate math in school again, right? Like, I wish I dropped out of school like you. But as I got into business, I was like, dang, this whole numbers thing and math and making sure that every decision you make moving forward is strategic based on data and analytics.
Right. Yeah.
So now I like thrive off of this stuff when I actually get excited about the numbers, which is why I was asking, you know, do you know you got 100,000 users, the average one's worth $6.15?
Right, right. Yeah, it's still pretty early for us right now. Okay. I think what we're seeing, you know, our average order value is $75. Compare that to the average order value at a concert away from Sidestep, it's like $55.
So you already have that data.
Yeah, and another really compelling data point, which all the merch companies that we work with are loving, where we're actually predicting real data on demand, where for the first time when you have the entire tour line available for pre-order, if we launch that tour line for Beyonce 2 weeks before the tour begins, we now know down to, I think, about 1.7% exactly what is going to be the most popular product and popular size variant throughout the entire tour.
And you guys could even send, and again, I mean, I'm just making stuff up because there's so many things you guys could really do, but one that popped into my head was you could send a push notification that says, hey, the show is about to end, buy some of the merchandise, 25% off. I mean, there's so many different things you guys really could do, which is why this app really is actually a genius idea. My question is, what separates you and protects you from anyone getting into this space?
Totally. It's the upside with working with Sidestep and the partnerships we have. Where
so you feel like you've already got your feet pretty deep in?
Yeah, the moat's really deep right now. And it's not just the artists that we're working with, which that's a very powerful thing, but it's more the partnerships that we've cultivated with Ticketmaster, with Access Ticketing. And we're basically building, you know, proactive sales channels that do not exist today for artists. For the first time with Ticketmaster, we can proactively message fans that bought a ticket to the show saying, you're going to Beyonce at Rose Bowl, here's the entire merch line, you can buy it here. So we're providing the artists not just the data, but a marketing vehicle to drive more sales.
So have you met Beyonce and Adele and them? Do you actually get to meet them?
No, I get the pleasure of meeting their merchandise people.
Okay, you're going to meet the director of merchandise PR for them and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because I thought, I was like, that'd be a pretty cool thing. Maybe after you've made them enough money, you'll be able to say, hey, I want that meeting, all right? I know exactly with the data here how much money I've made you guys, which I think is something that's really cool about your guys' app. Founder of Sidestep's joining us, Eric Jones. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We didn't talk about raising money yet, and I said that we were going to bring it up. So I want to know now, how much money did you guys raise? Can you disclose it?
Yeah, we've raised just under $2 million.
Just under $2 million. Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the hardest part? Nowadays, raising money is a trend. They've got freaking TV shows about raising money nowadays for products and ideas.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the hardest part?
I think it's romanticized quite a bit. It's really not, at least in my opinion, it's not the most fun. It's really the necessary
thing. They try to make it seem like it's kind of glamorous. In some ways, yes, meaning like, oh my gosh, you raised $5 million. But in reality, you wouldn't celebrate getting a $5 million loan from the bank
because
you just got $5 million in debt. Now, granted, somebody could rationalize good debt versus bad debt. Mm-hmm. That's another conversation. But what do you think was the thing that let you raise the money? Because you're a young guy and, you know, sometimes they say you bet on the jockey, meaning the person versus the horse, the company. In your case, what do you think they bet on?
I think early on, it came down to me as the founder, how I can articulate the story, talk about what we're looking to accomplish and what we've done so far with what we have. Now it's really based on data, where we've done about 8x growth since last year in every single metric you can
That'll gather. Make the investors pretty happy, right?
They're loving it. But I think, you know, the biggest challenge is just making sure you're persistent. You'll get a lot of no's. I mean, you'll get, for every yes, you'll have 100 or 200 no's. And that that can get hard on the entrepreneur because you love what you do so much. You love the vision, and to have someone, a professional investor, say, "Nah, I don't see it."
Yeah,
it can weigh on you quite a bit.
Okay, and so at the end of the day, when you got the investment, what was the first thing that went through your head?
let's hire some people. Yeah.
How did you decide to allocate the funds? Was it your decision? Was it the investor's decision?
Yeah, it was my decision. I mean, we started off when we first did that Fall Out Boy tour.
Okay.
About 2.5 years ago, it was just me and one developer. So that's not that many people.
Yeah.
So for me, it was let's hire really, really great people to fill in the voids. Let's expand the team, the devs, because we want to build a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And the sales. Let's make sure we always have artists coming onto Sidestep.
How are you guys continuing to get new people on? I mean, you've already got so many big names. And I feel like that's really the hardest part is you get up the hill. You get those first couple big names, like you've got Beyonce, Adele, Fall Out Boy, and a bunch of other big ones. But at the end of the day, how do you sustain that? How do you keep moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the big artists, they kind of, you know, we take a one-to-many strategy with the merch companies and management companies where it makes it easier to have more tours come onto Sidestep, but it's a really big market. And we want to make sure that we can serve not just those top-tier artists, but those that are playing theaters or small amphitheaters. And that comes down to what product we can build to make it more self-serve. So if you're an artist that's signed or not signed or with a merch company, you can use Sidestep to sell your merch for pre-order and get all the value that Beyonce gets.
Which is incredible. What do you think is the next step for you guys? I always want to know from a founder especially, right? Where do you see this company going in the next maybe 3 to 5 years, which is really hard to project. Yeah. Maybe we'll do 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, so in 12 months, I mean, my passion, my love is music. Everyone at Sidestep plays an instrument or we just share music all the time.
Which is so cool how you went from music and now you've got this.
Yeah, I wanted to make an impact away from playing drums in a band.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do it. So I think, you know, music is something I really care about a lot and I want to make it better for the artists of tomorrow, starting today. So I really want to continue the path of music. But with that said, we built Sidestep to cross into other industries. We're speaking to a couple now outside of concerts.
Yeah.
So I think for us, 3 years from now, let's say, ideally we're starting to take over the live event merchandising space, bringing transparency to it, bringing data to it, and bringing a marketing vehicle that doesn't exist today.
Which is, I think, an amazing vision. And as the founder, your job is to be the one that really not only sets it, but also make sure you build the team around you to move forward. What have you been doing to make sure that you're building a team around you?
Hiring really good developers.
Where do you find those developers? Because nowadays I feel like there's so much talent out there, but there's so much more opportunity for the talent. And, you know, from sitting with so many people, I hear the hardest thing to do is actually find the great talent. Mm-hmm. And if you do find it, the second hardest thing is to retain it. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I, with our investors and advisors, I keep track of what they do in their industry. And I think every hire we've had so far has been through referral from an investor or an advisor saying, we know these people, meet with them, talk to them, and they haven't let us down once. So yeah, I think if you have investors, you have advisors, you have a network of people or even mentors, they have pretty substantial network. You should you know, take advantage of that and say, hey, we're hiring some people. Do you know anyone at all? And
yeah.
9 times out of 10, they'll provide you a couple people.
Eric Jones, the one and only. Thanks so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
What business structure is right for you? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. One of the most important questions before starting a business is what legal structure to choose. The simplest way to start is a sole proprietorship. With a sole proprietorship, your business earnings are taxed only once. This is for one individual who owns and operates the business. A partnership is when a business is owned and operated by several individuals. There are general partnerships and limited partnerships. It's best to consult with a business attorney to decide which is right for your business. There's also the more complex corporation. It's also one of the most expensive business structures. A corporation is an independent legal entity separate from its owners. When you finally decide on the business structure, remember to reassess after a time, as laws are always subject to change. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Vivian Williams. 95% of thyroid nodules are benign and don't cause problems. But if you notice a lump in your neck, it's important to see a doctor and have an ultrasound imaging exam of the thyroid.
It will tell us a lot about what it is, where it is, what it's next to. It will tell us if it's cystic or solid, and it will give us some clues about whether it's benign or not. And that's always one of the questions when we find a lump there or a lump anywhere else for that matter.
Endocrinologist Dr. John Morris says if the tumor is malignant, patients have several treatment options.
Most thyroid cancers are a type of thyroid cancer called papillary thyroid cancer. And most of those are very well treated with surgery alone. In some cases, when the tumor is more aggressive or advanced, we may consider other treatments. Radioactive iodine is one of the more common ones that we prescribe.
For more information, talk with your doctor or visit Mayo Clinic.
Now let's join Mark Lack at the CEO Roundtable.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is our CEO Roundtable segment. So as always, joining me are two rockstar CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Dennis Yu, CTO of Blitzmetrics, and we create jobs for young adults.
I'm Courtney Jones. I'm the CEO of Sweat Cosmetics, and we create cosmetics for women who lead an active lifestyle.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, guys. And I just want to point out, you are wearing your clothes right now, because I called you out. I was like, are you wearing your stuff? And you are wearing it. What is that one? I love that one.
I am absolutely wearing
so
it. This, we're a cosmetic company, so I'm wearing our makeup right now. This is actually, I'm doing another interview later this week with Dress Barn. Have Very never cool. actually worn their clothes. They make some fabulous stuff. This is not an ad. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I told you guys I wanted to get started with, you know, going back into the past, sitting down and over coffee, tea, lunch, dinner, whatever you want to call it, sitting down with your younger self in your first year of entrepreneurship. So you're young like me, so I don't care if, you know, maybe you've been in entrepreneurship for 3 or 4 years, you still probably know a lot more than you did in your first year. Dennis over here has got a little bit more wisdom and experience than us. So go back and sit down at coffee or tea with yourself in your first year of business. What's one piece of advice you'd share with yourself? We'll start with Dennis.
So what I tell the young Dennis Yu is the most important thing is to focus on building your team. Mm-hmm. People are number one. People precedes product, your platform, anything that you have to sell. Because right now, I spend 80% of my time coaching and developing our team. And when I sit down with other entrepreneurs, it's the same thing where they talk about, man, what can we do to find good people? How do we keep these people? How do we inspire them? So you have to take care of them. And I was so busy as an entrepreneur that I didn't take care of our people to say, what are your goals? How can I help you with that? Why are, you know, if you were late on a report, what was it that was behind that? And can I do something to help you?
Yeah.
And it's okay. You have to care for them as people.
Yeah.
And that's where retention comes in. We lost 2 engineers to Facebook. And after that happened, I thought, oh man, how are we going to recover? We can't have this many, these engineers in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
But people for, that's the advice 20 years ago.
And I love that because, you know, mine would be very similar if I sat down with myself and I was just thinking, what would mine be? It would be based around people as well. I would say, look, in a few years, you're going to become a really big connector and networker with a very valuable network of individuals. And so start focusing on that sooner. And you know, I've only been doing this for a few years, but it's like, if I would have even started sooner knowing how valuable people and connections and networking and partnerships can be, I would have started even sooner. What's yours?
Well, I actually have a follow-up question for you, Dennis, if you don't mind.
Dive in.
I think just with a new company, mm-hmm. right now, the founders are the core group, and we haven't really explored past that. And at what point as a CEO or when you started a company did you realize you had to expand and spend time on those people and that expansion rather than your current projects?
When you hit that oh crap moment, when you can't when you have more customers than you know what to deal with, and you can only work so hard, right? Every entrepreneur mm-hmm. gets to that point where they work, and yeah. then they can't handle the rest yeah. of it, and you realize
yeah.
you gotta hire more people
totally.
To take care of the stuff.
Totally.
Now that we have more sports teams, mm-hmm. we have more e-commerce clients, we mm-hmm. have more lead gen companies,
yeah.
there's no way we could do that with 15 or 20 people. Once you get to 40 people, I think there's like a Dunbar number there. Once you get to about 40 people, mm-hmm. all of these other things fall apart mm-hmm. until you have process. And what happens is A-level people hire A-level people.
Mm-hmm.
But B-level people hire C people who then hire D people. Then pretty soon it's like, oh, how did these people get in here? When I was at Yahoo a long time ago, we were a hardcore group of engineers, and I was so, you know, awesome, you know, to be part of this team.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then 5 or 6 years later, when it was 12,000 people, I thought, how did he get into this company? How did you show up here, right? So
yeah.
to prevent that kind of cultural slide, mm-hmm. you really have to maintain your values, and you guys are all pro Olympic. How many gold medals do you have between all your founders?
We have, one of our founders has 2 gold medals.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all of the accomplishments, all of the things that tie you together,
mm-hmm.
do you have a way of codifying that so that when you need to scale, everyone else just believes in this
right.
and you don't have to create a lot of rules? If you create right. too many rules, that's a sign that your culture isn't strong enough.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is the CEO Roundtable, and as always, we have 2 rockstar CEOs who will tell us who they are in a sec. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Dennis Yu. I founded Blitzmetrics. We create jobs for young adults in sports and e-commerce.
Pleasure.
I'm Courtney Jones, and I'm the CEO of Sweat Cosmetics, and we create cosmetics for the real woman who leads an active lifestyle.
Thanks for being here as well. One of my mentors, Max Carey, one of the founders of Outback Steakhouse, built it from 1 restaurant to over 2,000 restaurants. And when I asked him how he was able to do that, how he was able to build a multi-billion dollar company from 1 restaurant to over 2,000, become the second largest mid-level restaurant dining chain in the United States, he said, we always knew we were going to have 2,000 restaurants, and so we built the first one with the end in mind.
Mm.
And so the way that they did that was through systems. Mm. And so Dennis is a master when it comes to this, but I also want to hear from you as well. What are some of the systems that you have in place, whether it's just something as simple as staying organized, making mm-hmm. sure that you get the right things done in the right mm-hmm. period of time, or whether it's crazy systems that are based around metrics analysis so that you can take more mm-hmm. appropriate action? What are some of the systems you have in your business?
Well, I will say this. We've only been launched for about a year, so I think we're almost hitting that spot where we have to start creating that type of structure.
Yeah.
And it's so hard in the beginning with working with 5 girls. At first, only 2 of us are really full-time. And that's really hard to have 2 full-time employees working with 3 part-time employees where mm-hmm. they still have jobs to do. They still have roles. Yeah. And we sort of have to have our hand in everything. Because we are with the company every single day. So
yeah.
I think that started off a little rough as we started integrating each other into the company. So it's been about a year. I will be totally upfront and honest, about a month ago was when we really sat down. And roles might seem obvious, but you need them written down. So we went through an entire list of everything that our company does, mm-hmm. who is in charge, and we gave them a backup partner just so they could chat. That girls need that. So we have 2 people basically on every job, and I will say it's so hard to not want to control every little aspect.
Yeah.
I was the first one to go full-time, so it's hard for me to relinquish control, but I almost have to at this point. There's too many other things that need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So to be totally honest, we're starting to get into that structure. We're starting to get into these specific roles and who reports to who. And again, mm-hmm. I still hate saying that. No one right. in our group right now with the 5 of us really reports. We do make a lot of team decisions, but we're learning slowly that you need that type of structure in order to grow.
Well, I love that you brought that up because I feel like a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
You 2 are absolutely amazing. And we really appreciate you for coming on the show. So thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.